Blog Talk Radio.
Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. This is a day of thanks for me. I've decided today I'm going to be thankful for everything that's going on. And one of the things I'm most thankful for is you as a co-host and producer and a generally carry through person for this show and the other shows that we do, because this is incredibly important information. And especially today, we have a guest that I think people will think is incredibly unique, and it's about energy healing. And I hope all of our practitioners are listening, because our guest, Ronelle Woods, is going to tell us about something she discovered about our bodies that's very unusual, exciting, and beyond what is presently known or accepted by modern medical professionals. We'll be with her in a few moments, but we have some announcements. We are simultaneously broadcasting with Richard over in California, and you can get there by dialing in at 347-850-1407. Or go to our website and go to Radio Tab and click on Blog Talk Radio, and it will allow you to go directly into Blog Talk Radio or to watch the show on WebEx, and you just punch some buttons and it lets you right in. So you can watch what's going on, and I would suggest that to everyone, because we have an exciting video to share with you that will explain some of what's going on with our guest. We're sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health here in Ohio. We're the largest alternative health center in Ohio that we know of. We have 9,000 square feet here. We create software for the public, and we're being sponsored today by the muscle software, so you can see what muscle is in stress. So we stick a microphone in front of your face, and we take 30 seconds of your vocal profile, and we can tell what's happening with the 400 or so muscles in your body, and then we can give you back those frequency. And we have proven that we can make muscles weak or strong. And I am so hoping that what our guest is bringing today will add to that, and we'll be even able to do even more. So we'll do a drawing for the people who are with us here. Richard, I'm getting messages here that we are not sharing. Okay, hold on. You do your announcements, maybe.
I'll add a piece about what Sherry was talking about with going to. If you go to Sound Health Options, this is for people who are either already on Blog Talk and not on WebEx or vice versa. You can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then for today, click on Blog Talk Radio. And down there on the right-hand side, you'll see a link and the phone number for the Blog Talk Radio, and also a link to go to the chat there. And or you'll also see a link to get to the WebEx feed or the video and chat that Sherry is running on her side in Ohio. And that way, if you want to, as Sherry said, we're going to show a short video.
Sorry, my
I think
computer.
Now we must be. Right, the computer is in control. I understand. Mercury's not direct yet. It's just not. It's just moving slowly that direction, along with the other five planets. All retrograde. Very exciting times to be in electronics or technology or communication. Then you'll be able to see the video that we're going to talk about, and which is such a powerful piece, talking about Ronelle's work. And there was another thought there. So you'll be able to join other chats and see our chat on the WebEx side, or talk and hear and text and chat with me over at Blog Talk Radio.
One of the things I was going to mention is we are now doing research on memory and Alzheimer's. So those of you who are practitioners, and we have a two-hour workshop right after this show, and we'll be sharing some of that information with you. In the meantime, I want to share with you that our keynote is up. Every week we put up a keynote, and the keynote today is from May 22nd to the 28th as we move into the frequencies of the note of D. And we have looked at the note of D in terms of Gardasil shots and how they cause infertility, or at least that's what we are seeing here at the clinic. And we added something new, actually gave it a name today, so I'll be reading you a bit of that. Muscles and stress are the fingers today, and arthritis, so people may be having a bit of problem with fingers. Zeaxanthin and some other important bioflavonoids, stearic acid, it shows what medications are in stress, and you might have an overdose of those. This is from something that science has just now begun to catch up with us about, that there are gravitational waves coming to our planet, and that controls the waves and energy. And I think our guest is going to talk about that. I'm going to ask her about it. But you can read this. There is no practitioner long form for the keynote today. Our attorney friend who does that didn't have time to do it, but I'm sure he will catch up. So there's also a chart there that shows you how the HPV, the Gardasil papilloma shots, and how it is influencing fertility. And there's lots of resources there for you every week if you are working with clients at all, whether you're a massage therapist, a chiropractor, craniosacral, medical doctor. The information is there that may help you move your patients through something for the week. And it's not really their stuff. They're just very, very sensitive to frequencies. And everything is frequency. Okay, you loved our little piece of trivial about your perfect mate. And so we have called this Trivial Mate Chatter. And it's on the bottom of the keynote. Did you read this, Richard?
I did. The keynote, for people who probably the regular listeners are sick of me waxing on about how much I love the keynote, is this amazing thing that Sherry's software produces where it's cosmic emanation, meaning it's sound that is coming from the cosmos, the big thing out there, the Carl Sagan, like whatever he talked about. But that big thing out there, and Sherry runs it through the software, and it produces this report called the keynote. And it's a trend, this keynote, as Sherry said, is for the 22nd to the 28th, of things that could be either what I would call hypertendistic, or, you know, a little too much, to, you know, something, or hypo, a little low, and you just want to be aware of. And it's always amazing how a few days before Sherry produces the keynote, people are calling me going, this thing that I know, I don't know about the keynote, but this thing is hurting me or bothering me. And it always shows up in the keynote, and it blows my mind every time. It's great. I love the keynote.
I've been doing this for 30 years, Richard, and almost every new vocal print that I do, I learn something new, and I learn combinations of what's going on. And this stuff with Alzheimer's, we have found a protein that reverses Alzheimer's and memory loss in mice, and so we're going to do a research project and see if we can do that for humans. It's exciting every day.
What an amazing thing. For 30 years. Wow.
You have an announcement.
I do have an announcement. I thought I'd make, you know, oftentimes my announcements are like, oh, doom and gloom and hell in a handbasket kind of thing. And this is really a great thing. I don't know if you can put up that graphic or not. I haven't been able to get into WebEx yet. I'll be doing that shortly. And this is about solar power. And this was an angle that caught my eye because I had never seen it expressed this way. The title of the article is Solar Power is Already Saving Lives in the U.S. Who would have thought? And there's a wonderful graphic in this article showing that, you know, the quantity, even just up to date, based on where, you know, this is actually based on a report that was at the, based on materials from the end of 2014 and has accelerated since then. The amount of carbon dioxide reduction, the amount of sulfur dioxide reduction, the amount of nitrogen oxide reduction, the amount of particulate removed in the water, the reduction in water usage, all based on the total effect of having solar in the United States. And I hadn't really thought about that angle of, oh, I mean, I had kind of, but not in the sense of like this really great article talking about, you know, like less so the carbon dioxide, although that's bad for the, really bad for the planet, but the actual reduction of sulfur dioxide and other nitrogen compounds reduction and the particulate reduction by using solar power instead of other sources. So I just thought it was a really great article, and I'll put the link to that in both chats, both at WebEx and at Blog Talk Radio. The graphic is really wonderful.
Is it the one with the sun and all of the solar panels below? Because there's two graphics here.
Yeah, it's the lower one that says, the line right above it in boldface says benefits of existing solar. And it shows that graphic, the tan to blue colors. And it's showing the GHG emissions, sulfur dioxide emissions, et cetera.
Oh, we and have it up. Very nice.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's really, it's a way of expressing other positive effects of solar in a way that I just had not put that kind of graph together. I was aware that it had benefits, but really it, having solar power is going to affect the planet positively, but it's also removing some of the production, you know, some of the production of pollution that affects our health on an ultimate level. It's a great article.
Richard, some people in chat are complaining that our sound is not very good on WebEx. Can you give the number for them to join you over at Blog Talk for great sound?
Sure. The sound at Blog Talk Radio is really good. 347-850-1407.
And
you can also call
in,
and you can also join if you have an account, which is free at Blog Talk Radio. You can also join Blog Talk Radio by, once you log in and go to the show, you'll be able to click and join by Skype as well for free.
Oh, that's great. One of the things also is right after the show, within 20 minutes or so, it's up on Blog Talk because they record it. And I record it here as a video, and I usually have it up by the next morning. I have one short announcement because we are working on creating medications through frequency, and we've been successful with some pain things like gout and getting rid of the pain. So I went looking for how important that is, and one of the things that I found is preventable medical errors in hospital is the number one cause of deaths that are unnecessary, preventable. 210,000 to 448,000 wrong medications by pill or by injection. That is just incredible to me. Tobacco smoking then is about half that, and being overweight is about a quarter of that. And alcohol, another half of that. So I will put both of these links in for people in the chat so they can go look at this. But what this calls to mind is that if people need something like morphine and they've run out or they've made it $1,000 a pill, those of you who have trained in bioacoustics will be able to dial it up And away we go. Right now in this room, because I have trouble with dopamine, I'm running dopamine for myself. It makes my muscles stronger. It makes me think better. It makes me thankful for the day because it deals with affect, too. People with Parkinson's have very little affect, very little emotions about what is going on. So we can take a vocal print and look at that. From muscles to DNA to even mitochondrial DNA, we can look at what is going on with people's body through the frequencies of their voice, because your brain speaks frequency. Your brain speaks math, and math is very stable and sturdy. And we're onto something, and we're going to get ready to release it to the public very, very shortly. Richard, would you introduce our guest?
I would be delighted. I'm going to do it slightly in a slightly different way, meaning I'm not going to read her bio because we can talk about that. She's had, you know, a lot of training, started out as a speech pathologist, and then got into body work. What I want to do is I want to read this segment of part of her book that we're going to be ultimately talking about, Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia, because it really gives a great picture of what she talks about in her book. You have inside you a cloak of gossamer connective tissue that surrounds and supports everything and functions like fiber optics. This tissue is called fascia. In these pages, myofascial release expert Ronell Wood translates the scientific language for the chemistry, function, and physiology of fascia, sharing her hands-on expertise, and explains in layman terms how our fascia affects us all in everyday life and its potential as a prime source of health and rejuvenation. Gay Hendricks says in his foreword, "I've been blessed to know many great healers and teachers over my 45 years in the field of transformation. Ronell is right at the top of the list of masterful practitioners I've known. Read this book and you'll no longer perceive your body as misbehaving slave to be punished into submission. Pardon me. But as a communicative partner, always supporting you." I want to welcome Ronell to talk with us about her book, Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. Good morning, Ronell.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I have to laugh at that. I just thought, as I say, we can talk about your bio and all that, but I just think this is such a great description of this field of, you know, myofascial therapy and fascia in general. It's just so, you know, it's so powerful and yet so underrated in any standard thinking, I feel. I want to ask you to do us a favor and start out by telling us the photon joke that's at the opening of your book. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, I do remember the punchline.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I remember the punchline, too, but I can't remember the I'm traveling. Oh, that's because you don't have much baggage. Does that help? No, I can
that's
tell
exactly
it doesn't.
Right.
Oh.
I'm in the present moment.
All right. Well, we'll skip that then. But it's a great joke. It has to do with, you know, I think you're checking into a hotel and somebody asks where your baggage.
And the bellhop asks if he can help with his luggage. Okay, a
yes.
Photon
yes.
Checks into a hotel and the bellhop asks, "Can I help you with your luggage?" And the photon replies, "No thanks, I'm traveling light."
See, that was still worth it. That was makes us chuckle. This will all come together. Really, I haven't lost my mind. This is really so powerful. I have to ask, yeah, it's like this here, Ronell. The rest of the audience, I think, knows. I have to ask you, and you can really bullet point it down because there's so much other, you know, in terms of fascia that we can talk about, but how did you go from speech pathology therapist to the aha discovery of the fiber optic for fascia? I mean, how did you get there? Those two don't seem to go together.
That's an easy answer. Pain.
Okay.
Yep, my body led me there. It has been my most astute teacher, and I always tell people we do what we've always done until it hurts too much, and then we find another way. And it's been in this process of searching for what works to solve my own physical pain that I tripped on down a road I never dreamed I was going.
Wow. So you had, so because I didn't read your bio, I have to ask this question. How long did you do speech pathology?
A mere 5 years. It took me 7 years to get the master's degree. And then after 5 years of actually doing the work, it became painfully apparent to myself and my boss that I may be a good therapist, but I was not a good paperwork filler-outer. And I did not get great satisfaction out of meeting deadlines and sitting in small chairs and continuing to see clients who weren't making progress simply because the insurance had authorized a certain number of visits.
You didn't like the bureaucracy of it.
Yeah, and I think that in truth, my soul's purpose was in direct conflict with what I was actually doing. I was trying to please other people and do what was expected of me and find a career that was acceptable to the church that I grew up in. And then I found that I was in a lot of physical pain as a result of that dichotomy. And so I went in search of what works and eventually found John Barnes, who is the grandfather, the teacher of myofascial release, and it is through his approach that I learned about this magnificent partner that is my body and that I could regard it as loving and forgive it for doing everything it had possibly been able to do to support me in doing what I'd always done until one day when I said jump, and instead of it saying how high, it said yeah, no.
Maybe not right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I needed to switch gears from being focused externally on what was going on outside of me all the time to what was speaking very quietly but insistently inside me. The fascial voice is how it's described, and it's a pain that can feel like a little kid that's constantly saying, Mom, and you want to turn and scream at it and tell it to go watch TV. But at some point, I had to have an approach to my own pain as though I was the best parent that I could possibly be. And I needed to kneel down and get on its level and say, I hear you, honey. What do you need?
I like it. And now can we step slightly sideways? And can you give
sure.
us the anatomical description of fascia, what it is, what its function is, how it's structured, all that?
It is connective tissue. So fascia is a name for connective tissue, and it has nothing to do with a facial or anything necessarily on your face, although you do have fascia in your face. It's important to make that distinction so that we can make fascia a household word and people know what we're talking about, because it is a part of you that, if you understand, can empower you incredibly in your approach to your own health. And the best analogy that I can give for you to picture fascia in your body is to imagine an orange without its peel. It still holds its shape, right? It's still round. And you can see all the pith, the white connective tissue of the orange holding it together. We're just like that. If you took your skin off, you'd still have this superficial layer of fascia that surrounds everything and holds you together. But you know, you can also take a section out of an orange and it has its own individual wrapper, as do we in our body, all around our muscles and organs. that can be taken out individually and that are surrounded by this thin saran wrap type layer of connective tissue. And you can even open a section of orange, and in your mind you can see it. Each little individual piece of pulp has its own wrapper, as we do, all the way down to muscle, spindle, and organelle, all the way down to bone. And bone is just mineralized fascia. And that's why when we're working with the superficial layer as myofascial therapists, we're touching your skin, we're mobilizing the skin, we're displacing it, and we're finding out where that superficial layer has drag, where it's gotten stuck and sludgy. And we wait at that border of resistance until we feel a sliding, gliding melt. And when the superficial layer starts to shift, because every single fiber of fascia is connected to every other fiber, it's as though we're finding a pull in a sweater, and it's affecting every other fiber in that sweater. And if you start to melt and soften and let go, interrupting a long-held holding pattern, whether physical or emotional or both, you begin to feel it everywhere in your body. So it's not unusual for me to be contacting your foot doing myofascial release and for you to get an itchy nose. Not a coincidence, not random, but rather information for us about where the pattern may be holding and dragging in your body.
Well, I have so many questions. I have so many questions just off of that. But I think this would be a great opportunity. I believe that Sherry has the video, your short YouTube video. And I think this would be a
wonderful
great opportunity for the WebEx audience to see it, and we'll hear the audio over at Blog Talk Radio. Want to play that now, Sherry?
That says it all.
It's less than 2 minutes, people. Great picture.
What we see is a tendon sliding underneath the fascial sleeve. It looks like saran wrap. It shares a blood supply, and without restriction, it slides easily. Then what we're seeing is the fascia pulled up from the tendon, magnified 25 times. Now we can see the little individual fibers binding together to form restriction and big tree trunks rather than each individual fiber. And it will only come apart with sustained traction, as you see in this example. This one little string comes apart from the rest. The whole system is very fluid-filled and quite well hydrated in its healthy state. But you can see how it binds together and creates restriction. In the center of the screen, you'll see fascial release. And then off to the left, another piece comes up, and in the background, a whole fascial plane starts to let go. It's like a tectonic plate. Then there's elongation of one of the fibers. This is an example of how the vascular system is buried in the fat and fascia. And when the fascia clamps in the "dear God, we're going to die" response, the purpose is to inhibit and squeeze these blood vessels so that if you get cut, you don't bleed too much. It squeezes your nerves so that if you get hurt, you don't feel it right away. You can see how beautiful these little fibers are when they're individualized and how they're fluid-filled. See the water flowing up the tubule? These are fiber optics that conduct consciousness throughout your body, sharing information about proprioception. It's a beautiful thing.
Explain that word, proprioception.
It is your awareness of where your body is in space. It is the information fed back to your sensory system about whether your arms are lifted or whether you're twisted or sideways or upside down. Proprioception is your awareness of your body. And this net inside you gives information faster than any nerve impulse that has been measured.
That word explains why when I had a stroke, I didn't know where my foot was.
Oh,
I could
yes.
I could see where it was, but it like I'd push myself down the stairs because my foot was on the flat. It was on the riser. Mm. So what can I do about that?
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea you've had that experience. That is profound. Yeah, all the messages were getting scrambled. And in the video, if you can see that your vascular system is surrounded by fat and fascia, you can understand how the fascia contains everything and plays a part in everything. And when you don't use your vascular system, in other words, when there's very little movement and there's a lot of pressure, the vessels atrophy and pull back until all they're supplying is your viscera. Now, I can't speak to exactly what happened during your stroke, but the blood supply to your brain was interrupted and it couldn't interpret the signals that it was getting. You're okay now?
I'm great now. I used the frequencies to put things back in place, but I think it would have happened a lot sooner if I could figure out the frequencies for the fascia, and if I knew more about fascia. My question, is it nerves? Is it blood? Is the vascular system here? Is this the controller of innervation and circulation?
I do believe it is the missing piece that simplifies our understanding about our body, that once we understand it, will cause us to look back at our previous ways of addressing the body as incredibly barbaric. And rather than sounding negative about it, I want to communicate the positivity that this system is the one mechanism inside your body that contacts every other system. So it is much better addressed first, long before other modalities of prescription, pain medication, and surgery are tried. We want to move those way down on the list of our approaches to healing and health.
This sounds almost like a missing piece.
Yes.
In the sense of when I think about a long time ago, when I first heard Bruce Lipton lecture about cell receptor sites and the hormone receptor sites on cells, how they have these little antennae. Actually, structurally, this is not a spooky metaphor or allegory, but they actually have little antennae as receptor sites. And it seems like this may be one of those missing signaling systems that goes throughout the body, surrounding almost everything. When there's a hormone strike, let's say an animal is, let's say a person is scared or frightened or you have a shock moment.
Yeah.
As the hormone cascade comes into the system, because there's no, hormones aren't delivered in anything. In other words, they don't go through the blank system, they just dump into the system like we're a big pool. And does fascia carry all those signals around? Are there receptor sites for hormones in the vascular system? I mean, not vascular, sorry. In the fascial system?
The best of my understanding and the way that I visualize a human's reaction to fear is through adrenaline. Let's take adrenaline first. And if you know your anatomy, and even if you don't, doesn't matter. You've got little caps that sit on top of your kidneys that are your adrenal glands, and they're located where your kidneys are in your back. And when you get scared, those adrenal glands will squirt adrenaline right onto the surface of your psoas muscle, which are your fight or flight muscles. And those lift your leg for fight or flight. And cavewoman used to be able to have an honest reaction to adrenaline. She would encounter a wild animal. She'd get that huge shot of adrenaline. She would obey by fighting and fleeing. Modern woman is driving, and she comes around a corner, and it's not a wild animal, but it's somebody pulling out in front of her in traffic, causing that same release of adrenaline. And it's the exact same amount that cavewoman had. shoots right to her psoas, and everybody can relate to that, that ugh, feeling in your stomach. But she only can allow herself the movement from her foot on the accelerator to the brake. And she has to tell her body, not now, because she knows if she had a really wild and dramatic reaction, she would be in danger and so would everybody else. So in comes the sensor, the editor inside that says, not now. We all have it, and we use it at least 100 times a day. We don't slap people. We don't kick people. We don't gouge out eyes or strangle people. So we're constantly telling our body, the animal, not now. Do not obey that adrenaline. Now what happens is the fascia clamps down in that dear God, we're going to die response, and it stops the body from reacting, and it traps the adrenaline against the surface of the muscle. Also, lactic acid and uric acid can get trapped there, the byproduct of muscular use. And if you drive home after an instance of being frightened like that, you may process what happened intellectually and tell somebody, some jerk pulled out in front of me and nearly killed us all. But your body never had the opportunity to tell the truth about how it felt in that moment. And you're walking around with the not now freeze response going on in your body that you may have been carrying for years, that in myofascial treatment you can let go of in a very short period of time. But this leads me to the idea of your own self-treatment, what you can do to counteract that. And I call it a SNIT fitness program. And you may have heard treatments like primal scream therapy and things like that that have gotten poo-pooed. However, it is a biological need of your body to empty out that holding so that blood can get between the layer of fascia and muscle and be swept away. So if you were to lay on your bed and kick your feet and pound your fists and scream into a pillow, you're serving your body's biological need to clean itself, to clean out the storage tank. And once that chemistry, that encapsulated cocktail of chemistry, is swept off the surface of your muscle into your bloodstream, that's when people experience emotional release. It's the effect of that chemistry in your bloodstream making you feel grief, sadness, anger. And the beauty of it is you don't have to analyze the reason for why you're feeling that. Just know that your body's storage tank is emptying out, and then you can have a nice little nap.
And is this where nature is smarter than we are, or our initial instincts are, that when an animal is in a trauma event or a flight or fight or a, you know, just a cat walked around a corner and walked into a big old hairy dog, and, you know, and then they later on they lay down and they shake. Is that nature's intelligent way of shaking this off?
Yes, it is. And in the town where I live, Ojai, California, yoga is a very big thing. And people believe that if they meditate enough or they evolve enough, that they'll never get upset. And it's just not true. We are built to survive. And when we hear a loud noise, we jump. It is our sympathetic nervous system, the animal, that reacts.
This explains something to me that is so incredible. We have several employees here, and when they do things, I try to stay calm and cool and find a solution and whatever. But when I go home, I dump on my husband, this happened and this happened and this happened. I just need to talk about it. And once I talk about it and to him, because I know he'll keep all the secrets, then it's out of me. It's off of me. So that's the explanation of why did I do this to this poor man.
Yeah, it's biological. It's stored up in your body. It's the people you have not kicked. And I do not advocate kicking people. We need to be socially appropriate. And what you've done is processed it intellectually with him. Physically, your body still has a story to tell, and it wants to tattle. It wants to tell the truth. And either during a treatment or during your own SNP fitness program, the weirdest things come out of a body when it takes the brakes off. Really politically incorrect phrases, like it's not fair. I'm the good one. Everybody else is stupid. And you would never allow yourself to say those things, and most of them aren't true. But your body needs to discharge that animal in order for it to trigger your parasympathetic nervous system for rest and restore. And that's a release of endorphin, dopamine, and oxytocin. So you are literally letting go of fear and filling up with love.
That's beautiful.
I was over here chuckling because when you said the thing about you can't meditate your way out of it, you can't eat enough tofu, well, you didn't say that part, but you can't be enough of a vegetarian to blow any of this off. You know, there is that school of thought where you can meditate your way out of anything. And I'm not anti-meditation. I think it's a great mind-quieting practice, but it's not going to make your leg more flexible, in my view, in my opinion, as
yeah.
I like to say.
Yeah, and Vipassana advocates sitting through pain and ignoring it. We do that enough. We have so much opportunity to prove how tough we are. The challenge then becomes to find out how soft you can be. And I don't know if you've ever experienced someone spiritually bypassing on you and telling you, bless you on your journey, when you really feel the energy is up yours.
I have to back away from the mic so I can laugh loudly. Thank you. You blew away my question. You made me have a release and I forgot my question. No, I didn't. So how does the body differentiate between what is traditionally called a repetitive stress injury? In other words, a lot of people think that they have, you know, shoulder pain or shoulder something from repetitive stress injury versus the hormone shock to the system of like an adrenal dump and your body goes, oh, my God.
Yes, and that's why earlier I said if the pattern of holding is physical or emotional, you can use your body repetitively, and when you do, wherever you load the system, it builds more. So the callus on the bottom of your foot is an example of being repeatedly loaded on the skin and thickening skin cells. Wherever you impact your bones, every heel strike you make when you're walking stimulates your entire skeletal system to build enough bone to support you standing. And fascia will lay down thicker in areas where it is loaded more. And the example that I like to give is the effect of sitting on our overall health. When you grow up in the shape of a chair from all the sitting that's required in school, you develop real thickening on the hip flexors, right where your leg bends and joins your torso. So often people are walking with bent knees and reduplicating that same pattern rather than extending their foot and leaving their heel on the ground behind them to stretch that area. So you can develop thicker fascia in places where you use it more. And it ain't funny because fascia patterns of thickening that are left interrupted begin to change their fibrous structure and ossify. Remember how I said bone is mineralized fascia? Well, your fascia starts to mineralize, and that is why fascia turns to bone and you see older people who can't stand up straight anymore, or hammer toes that won't lay down anymore.
So that's in a certain way almost a derivation of the repetitive stress injury where
yep.
you have a pattern, or like you injure your shoulder and then pretty soon you're holding your arm a certain way when you're typing, when you're standing or sitting too long, too much at the keyboard, and that really sets perfectly. We're so not designed for this, sitting at a keyboard and doing that all day long. And then you
That's
hold your
right.
shoulder in that
right.
position, and then if you don't stretch or do something to limber that out, then you get ossification or pre-ossification, and then it gets gnarly. That would be a technical term.
That's the scientific term, yes.
That's the scientific word for it. Yeah,
and
yeah, gnarly.
I realize that many of us can relate to this experience where you reach for something on a high shelf, and it seems like all of a sudden, just that moment, that day, your shoulder said, uh-uh. And you think, oh, that can't be good. And so you start putting things on lower shelves. And my job as a therapist is to find the space in your body again, because you need to have full range of motion. You need to be able to reach that thing on that high shelf and not just modify your environment to accommodate a body that doesn't want to move very much.
I have just realized from what you just said that we have already been working on this fascial tissue. We did a demonstration for the National Institute of Health, and we did it on hammer thumb, hammer finger, hammer toe, and we were able to release it with frequency. So,
well, I'm so excited that you said that, because before, when you were talking about your recovery from the stroke and your area of interest, when you see that video of the fascia, can you imagine how those delicate little fluid-filled fibers respond to frequency and vibration? I mean, it just seems like a system built to be sensitive to pick up any movement and jiggle.
Absolutely, and I am going to dig in and decode all of this. I think that would be wonderful to be able to give a 30-second vocal trip to somebody and say, okay, the fascial, what was the word Richard used? The fascial problems are right here. I think we can do that.
And with your visualization of that video that you just saw, you can know this is the medium in which you are working. Isn't that exciting?
Yes. Has there been any proof that the fascia responds to frequency?
That may be your area. There are so many areas of research. For instance, the meridians in Chinese medicine are the fascial fibers. The lines that the meridians follow can be seen as this mechanism of fascia that, by the way, prior to now, cannot be visualized with an X-ray or an MRI or a CAT scan or anything like that. But with the tools that Dr. Gambartow took inside the human body, he usually used them for surgery, and they're fiber optic tools. But he asked the patient, can I just film what I see while I'm in there and magnify it 25 times? And they said, sure. And he was the first one to put out a video called Strolling Under the Skin that the excerpts in my video are from.
Wow. I'm totally impressed by what you're doing. It is the next step.
It is.
In connecting everything in the body and everything in the mind with the body and everything with the body with the world.
Because it is just like the World Wide Web, but it's within. It's the internal web inside your body. Are you getting chills? I am.
I have a slightly sideways question, and then I'll lead back into asking a question about myofascial release. Do you think that this is one of the benefits of such an old school non-technology rebounding? Do you think that is one of the side effects of rebounding, is that it really does help? Because you're doing this really gentle bouncing. For those that don't know what rebounding is, you're just standing on a small trampoline and bouncing up and down very gently. And do you think part of that is that very gentle stretching of all the fascia?
Preach, brother. Yes,
oh,
indeed.
Wow, we're
high
five and we're belly bumping already. All right.
Yes, yes, exactly. We also use that term rebounding in myofascial release when a person is lying on the table and we gently rock their body side to side. And it is the most exquisite feeling, as though all the sediment in your body gets stirred up and you're turned up like a snow globe that's been shaken. It definitely jiggles everything. It disengages all the holding patterns. It stirs up the chemistry, and it begins to release the old stagnant yuck that actually I didn't mention, that encapsulated cocktail of chemistry of lactic acid, uric acid, and adrenaline becomes sticky and gummy, and it starts to cause the fascial layer to adhere to the muscle. You've heard the word adhesions. And when you stir it up with rebounding, you are disturbing something that was trying to become bone. So you're doing your body a tremendous service. Did you know about the cosmonauts competing with the astronauts to stay in space as long as possible, and they came back with osteoporosis because they weren't impacted with gravity?
Yeah.
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 I need to know more about that.
The fascial system was stagnant. It had nothing to respond to. It wasn't getting the movement that it needed. So they developed shake plates, something that the astronauts could stand on, and those have become popular in the fitness world too. A plate that you stand on that just jiggles the heck out of you, and it stimulates bone growth.
And do you think there's any advantage? This is not the question I meant to ask. Do you think there's any advantage of a shake plate versus rebounding?
I think that there are so many modalities for movement that whatever resonates, vibration word, with the person is what works for them. I am a huge fan of walking with proper body mechanics, because walking is the ideal exercise for the human body that, when done correctly, can feed all systems and heal, versus if you're walking with your feet turned out and you're twisting your ankles and your knees and your hips out of their proper alignment, then it can be deteriorating. But I love to jump on a trampoline. I love to walk. I like standing on the shake plate. Movement thumbs up about anything, as long as you're aware of your skeletal alignment, which is the follow-up that I do after a person receives MFR, is to show them how not to end up back on my table again with the same problem.
And so a lot of the, as we're talking, and I'm thinking about being on a vibrational platform versus rebounding versus any of that, a lot of times people get off of those. I'll see at shows, like at expos and things, you'll see the vibrating platforms. You won't see the old school rebounders, because that's like too old school for people now. Now it needs to have disco lights and blinking and something. And so with the vibrational platforms, when people get off of them, they often seem a little high in a beneficial way. They seem a little like, wow, I can't believe how much better I feel. And so they've had that brief experience, because they're usually on it for 10 to maybe a 12-minute demo. And in that time, they've shaken everything up. They've made the lymphatics move. They've made the cells jiggle around, the mitochondria excited. But also the fascia is getting vibrated or banged around in a very positive way, or stretched, really.
Yes, exactly.
In such a way that it's having some hormone cascade release. Is that, am I making all that up?
Not at all. That's absolutely true. And I would encourage people to also tune into the potential that people glow more after something like that. You've heard the word radiant. She was radiant. Or that pregnant women glow. It's literal. You've heard the woo-woo talk of we are all crystalline beings of light. Well, yeah, we are. And here's the mechanism. It's these fiber optic fascial tubules inside of us that have interrupted the patterns of holding and stickiness and that have created dark shadows in the body, literally, and they've been jiggled up so that the light can start flowing more freely along with lymph and circulation. And when they have that experience, they actually shine more.
And they're so, they literally, now in your case, referring to the fiber optic quality of fascia, you really mean it. You're not kidding around.
I am not kidding around. It's literal. And I love that I don't have to explain the function of fiber optics because everybody has cable. And those images come into your home through glass fiber optic cables. It carries information. And I do believe that neuroscientists are studying the role of fascia that it plays in our consciousness, that this could be the mechanism of consciousness in our body. When you have a holding pattern that serves you to be able to function and not feel the pain of something in your body, it is because there is squeezing, tightening, and darkening happening that allows you to go unconscious in that area of your body. And when people get myofascial release, there's a section in my book called, "Oh yeah, I had my spleen removed," where they think they've told me their medical history, and as we work with their body, the tissue allows information to flow and gives them a reminder or a memory of something that has happened before as it's released.
And I would kind of describe that. I don't know why this image comes to mind, but as you describe that, in terms of energy flow, and suddenly an organ is gone and they don't go, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you," is that it's like this sort of in the system, there's not meant to be a cul-de-sac there.
Precisely.
It's actually supposed to be a road. It's not supposed to be like, "Oh, there's this, what is that thing that's there, this cul-de-sac suddenly, the energy is not flowing through, it's just kind of looping around. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, I had my gallbladder removed. Oh, thanks."
Yes.
It's an amazing
and
thing.
And this is why I say that if you know this about your body, there is so much that can be explained about a diagnosis that you've been given. If you imagine your body being squeezed repeatedly with no let-up, high blood pressure, that's a no-brainer to realize that your heart is trying to shove the same volume of blood into your body that it used to be able to do easily when you were young, and now that you've become appropriate, dignified, and socially correct, you never let yourself have a temper tantrum or move in goofy ways, and you have so much holding accumulated in your body over a lifetime that you don't have enough room anymore, and your heart is just working really hard to try and shove that blood into a tighter system.
So uncomfortable. I have a question from audience and then a slight redirect. How does fascia respond to things like sugar or aspartame, or I will also add in Roundup?
Wow, that is very pertinent. I don't know. I think that that's one of the areas of research that is open for people to be doing right now. But if I were to be intuitive about it, I would say that this is a cocktail of chemistry that accumulates. So oftentimes when a person is receiving myofascial release, they experience a really strong healing crisis, which is a detoxification, that the tissues have trapped and held old, long-held chemistry. And as it flushes into your bloodstream, you feel awful. You can feel nauseated, sore, achy. Now you're wondering, why would I want to do that? Because the only way out is through. And as your body is dumping and letting go, at least you are addressing it and you're cleaning your system out. You're not taking something in for a change. So the more fascial restriction you have, the more you hold toxicity.
Woo. I need to stand on a rebounder for a few minutes after this, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're moving toward the end of our – we can go a few minutes longer, but I want to move us toward – can you describe what it's like to have myofascial release work done? In other words, what is that like? What is a session in the terms of what is – I mean, I know what craniosacral, as we talked before show, there's a lot of different kinds of work. What is it like to receive MFR?
I was just daydreaming about this before I went to sleep last night, and I came up with an analogy. You can understand how your food is cooked and why temperatures have different effects on the types of food that are being prepared and the blending of flavors, and know all of that stuff intellectually, which is what we've been talking about in terms of fascia. But when that plate is set in front of you and you take that first bite, you don't have to understand anything.
Hello?
Whoops.
I think we lost her.
Oh, no. Ronell?
Should I call back?
No, you're back.
You're back.
Oh, phew.
We just lost you
on
a fascia release.
Place.
See, right there. We just had a little fascia release. You blew the charts.
Yeah.
That was good. Thank you.
A little clamping down, and the fiber optics through Time Warner cable got interrupted.
Exactly.
Okay. So did you hear me say that when that plate is set in front of you, you don't need to know how it was cooked to know that it's delicious?
Yes.
Okay.
So when you actually, as a practitioner, when you actually lay your hands on somebody, what is the actual motion under it? How aggressive or non-aggressive? And when I say aggressive, I just mean having been trained in other kinds of body work.
Yeah.
You can really dig in there sometimes. I mean, what is the touch like for the recipient? Is it gentle? Is it a bit of twisting? Is it, what is it?
It's gentle. I used to call this work cutting edge, but then I realized that's kind of violent, so I call it leading edge. When I put my hands on someone, I feel like somebody has given me something like a tube of toothpaste with shapes inside, and I'm supposed to figure out where the lumps are and what the shapes are. So I first begin to gently touch the body, and that's a critical moment because it's a sacred experience to pass through somebody else's space bubble and for the receiver to trust someone enough to touch them. And I want the body to get that it's not being attacked this time. And when your body settles in and starts to soften and let go, your only job on the table is just to say over and over again in your mind, I let go, it's safe to let go. Nothing bad will happen if I let go. And I'll find places in your body that tattle. They're thick. They meet my pressure by pushing back against me. And I don't fight it. I hang out there. And I'll press on the skin and displace the skin to see how far it shifts. And then I usually run into a resistant area. We call that the barrier. And we hang out there. We don't push any further. We don't force the body to go beyond where it's ready to go. And in a 5-minute hold, the chemistry under my hands begins to change inside you. And the to melt, change consistency, and slide open. And it feels to me kind of like melting butter or pulling taffy. And when that happens, the person on the table has just given permission. We're not forcing. We are not going to accomplish as much if we try and push faster than it's ready than we do when we wait and we get much deeper whole system release in the body. And wherever we're working, we get information about where else it may be connected. And so we follow that. And people often say, even I say, when I receive myofascial release, I say, oh, how did you know? And it's funny because the body just shows you and leads your hands. Now, I may be saying that because I'm gifted at this and it seems easy to me. There are those who are just made for this kind of work, and it just speaks to them.
Well, your talk got kind of bubbly there for a minute, and that's a perfect example of a disconnect in that fascia in the fiber optic cable.
Something means something.
I couldn't hear your voice very well. I don't know if other people heard it or not, but it sounded like you were kind of underwater.
Oh, that's very frustrating, but
a good example.
Summarize by saying that it's very gentle work and we get much more cooperation from the body and deeper release if we wait for permission.
Nice. Yeah, okay, so that leads me to how do we make appointments? Is there a line? Do we line up now? How do we work with you? I want it now. At least I'm in the same state.
yeah, that's
but
right.
How do people work with you? How do they get more information about you? Where would you like to have people read more about your amazing work? I've already posted in both chats, we've already posted where to get the book. Order now.
Great. For me, Information Central is my website. That's omsanctuary.com, O-H-M, as in mom, stands for Ojai Healing Movement. Omsanctuary.com, where we post the classes that I hold, the workshops that I do. You can click through to order the book there, and there are pictures of what we do.
Uh-oh, you've gone underwater again. Oh, Time Warner, now you're back.
Are you there?
Yes, you're back now.
Okay, so my email address is Ronelle, R-O-N-E-L-L-E, at omsanctuary.com, O-H-M-sanctuary.com. And the website is omsanctuary.com. And we're traveling these days. On July 23rd, I will be doing a self-myofascial release workshop in Boulder, Colorado. And if you want me to come to your area, we need at least 5 to 10 people for a workshop, and we'll come and deliver the self-myofascial release training there. I also teach other myofascial therapists. If they are interested in learning my technique, I educate other therapists as well.
We are looking
Wonderful.
At it on our broadcast right now. And all the information is there, and we've put the links to the events and workshops up on our chat.
Fantastic. So even though the phone garbled up, the information's out there.
Is still out there. Not unlike fascia, you know, the fiber, you know, it's trying to claw its way through, and those ones and zeros will line up for us. So that's very exciting that you're teaching a do it to yourself, I mean, as much as you can grab of yourself. That's like brilliant because you can't really do cranial sacral cell work to yourself. You can't. There's a bunch of modalities you can't really do. That's an awesome idea.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Want to empower the individual to know that they have so much more to say about their health and healing and to do long before they are given pain medications or told that something needs to be cut out of them. Fascia, when it is cut, repairs thicker.
Yeeks.
Yeah.
That would be the technical term. The medical description of that is eeks. Ooh, thicker is not
and
good
all the
unless you
say.
Want to. Yeah. Unless you want a bone to be stronger, that's great, but you don't want your fascia to, like, get thicker. Ooh, sounds
get
bad.
Get thicker, yes.
Yeah. Ooh,
and
not bad.
I should tell people that they can find a therapist in their area. If somebody is listening in another country or on the other side of the United States, my mentor, John Barnes, has a website called Myofascial Release sherrywilliams.com, where you can plug in your zip code and find a therapist near you.
Wonderful. Okay, I think we have to stop now, otherwise we'll go on for 6 more hours because there's just so much about this. I really do think that moment where you and Sherry were talking of how this is such a powerful arena, period. I have so many words. I'll stop now. Any other questions, Sherry?
No, I'm certainly going to, with your permission, Ronell, put a link directly to your site so people can find you through us, too.
Yes, please. Let's spread this word like fascist spreads light.
Yes. You're in the mycelium. That's a different show. So that was really great. Thank you so much. I knew it was going to be a fun conversation, and it really was with moments of mind-blowing effect. So that is awesome. I love when that happens. So I will say,
your partnership.
Thank you so much, Ronell. That was wonderful. So everybody have a great rest of the weekend. We will see you on Tuesday. We're talking about something, as always, but I don't know now at this moment what it is. So everybody have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.